I'd like to call the 2018 Disciples Church annual meeting to order and invite up Jason Knott, our children's director, to open us in prayer.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be up here. I am Jason Knott, the children's director for Disciples Church. It's a pleasure to be up here, and let's pray. Father God, I want to start off by thanking you for all that you have given us. Psalm 100, verse 4, says it really well. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. God, thank you for the year ahead of us and all that you have planned for Disciples Church in 2018. I pray your blessing on the business meeting and ask that we would have open hearts with eyes to see and ears to hear all that you have set before us. I love God's word in Ephesians 3:20 again. I love what Scripture has to say, and I'll close with this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, amen. I'd like to invite Elder Matt up.
One more in the back over here, Darren or Marilyn. All right, we'll go ahead and keep moving. So I get the pleasure to take us on a quick walk through history. We want to recap 2017. 2017 was incredible in regards to how much God did in and through Disciples Church, how many things happen. As you hear, as we go through it, it may even surprise you that all of that was crammed into one year. It feels like 5 years worth of stuff. So what a blessed people we are that God has been so active in our church. So a new name and a new location. 1 year ago, January, we packed up at our very large campus and held our final worship service at the Olive Drive campus, our church's home for the previous 40 years. This was also our final service under the name Olive Drive Church. The newly named Disciples Church was on the move to our current interim location right here. The renaming of the church was practical in that we no longer gathered on Olive Drive, but more than that, it was purposeful. Disciples Church better encapsulates who we are as a church and what we are about. Jesus' great commission to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that he has commanded us, is truly the priority in our church in this new era we are in now. The elders and staff want to thank you for embracing these changes with joy and leaning in to help us move and to graciously and warmly embrace our temporary meeting place here. I've seen this move and our tight meeting space actually bring our church together in many ways. Our growing unity and trust and dependence on one another is surely going to be a foundation that God uses in the new season coming as we come to expand our ministry to our new campus right up the street. Next, from 2017, let's remember our ongoing sermon series. Pastor Joshua has faithfully continued his commitment to prayerfully prepare and passionately preach God's word to us as he has led us through the 2-year series in the Gospel of John. We are now over 80 sermons in, and I have been very blessed to hear how God has used this preaching week in and week out in so many people. It's been such a blessing. We heard Rico testify to that, how great we are blessed by such great teaching, biblical teaching here. From 2017, let's also remember our midweek gathering. You need to know that other pastors that we partner with or who are watching us and praying for our church often comment on how rare it is to have such a large portion of the church body attend the midweek gathering, the midweek offering. We have just about 100 members, I think now as of this morning, a few more than that, praise God, official members in our church. You know, our attendance is more, obviously, but adult members over 100. But in our midweek gathering, we too there exceed generally about 100 people with adults and youth. That's incredible. I mean, churches are excited to have 30% of their people show up to their midweek offering. So the fact that we have so many, 80, 90 plus percent, over 100%, is incredible. Praise God for that. And in that, people are growing in Christ in our midweek gathering that meets Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. This is so rare and so wonderful to see. God's people trusting their shepherds and leaders to make this a priority and to grow with us. Praise God. The connections in our midweek groups are continuing to prove to be a blessing as people share life together, and midweek is proving to encourage more and more discipleship endeavors to begin. It continues to be a joy to see our generations together and growing in this format as well. In 2017, we finished our two-year study through the Word of Truth Catechism, and the testimony of what God did and continues to do in many of your lives as a result of your stronger foundation in God's truths continues to really bless your pastors here. Personally, it is a joy to see the conviction that I had for a better tool to disciple in my own household turn into a tool that God would use to really grow our church family. It really is a blessing for His glory. Lord willing, we will begin teaching the catechism again later in 2018, and really looking forward to that, to continue to build out those foundations. And for those who didn't get to go on that full journey, and these truths are amazing time and time again. Next, from 2017, let's remember our elder transition. Early in 2010, our church voted to amend our bylaws to move from a congregational model led by nominated members to serve as board elders alongside a pastor to what we see in Scripture, which is a biblical eldership of shepherds who lead our flock in every way and meet Scripture's qualifications. In the fall of 2013, we finished our vetting of and ordained Joshua Kirstein to be our first biblical elder and our next preaching pastor in our historic church. And in 2015, at our winter all-church celebration, we ordained and installed Rob Barber as our second pastoral biblical elder. And in 2017, in June, Disciples Church ordained me as your third biblical elder, making ready our longtime faithful board of elders to pass on the full responsibility to the three of us pastoral elders, which finished the transition we voted to see happen in 2010. Great, great milestone in 2017 to finish that transition. This was another huge landmark of reform in our historic church. There's been a lot of work for the three of us to tackle since the transition, but God has done and is doing so many good things that it's all very, very worth it. Thank you for your support and encouragement along the way. It really means a lot, and I'm excited about who God will continue to mature and raise up to join us as elders moving forward. As elders, this year we worked on many important tasks, but two are certainly worth mentioning. First, the long overdue rewrite to our statement of beliefs was in order. We sought to more clearly articulate and confess what we as a church believe and teach. This rewrite was met with complete support by the body. And that was such a blessing and evidence in the unity that God has created around here, around God's truths, based on God's truths. Now, next, we worked on rewriting the very outdated bylaws, another important step for our church. Lord willing, we'll have a similar confirmation of this rewrite later today in our annual meeting. We've received great feedback from many of you so far. Next, let's consider in 2017 what God did in regards to unreached people groups. Disciples Church's desire to get the gospel to people who have never heard it before took flight in a great way this year as we prayed for and sent the Linder family and then the Dyke family overseas. They began the intense process of rooting themselves in the culture, learning the language, and so on. And Lord willing, we may have an update from them specifically for you this morning. Please be praying diligently for them and others being trained down in Radius right now. And we are so blessed to be a part of unreached people groups, and we will continue that. And it's been awesome to see what God did there in 2017. Next, let's consider for this last year the property. We continue to be thankful for our partnership with Scott Underhill and his team. In 2017, we tested selling our 1.3-acre property we have next to our current building parcel. But we decided we wanted to see what God brought in the opening of our campus before we sold it. So we have since pulled it off the market, and we are waiting to see what will be best for that land as we get settled in and consider these things moving forward. For our new campus, in May of 2017, we broke ground on our new church campus. In this, we have Ed Childress and the rest of the team at Klassen doing an amazing job in building us a beautiful new home. It's incredible. We saw the picture come up recently of many of us standing out there at the campus to pray over it. And I see you nodding heads. You recall, we were there. We were out there. Dirt and weeds, and this picture of all of us standing there, and wow, that was amazing. That was an amazing time to come together, and we had no idea. I mean, we could only imagine what we're seeing now come up over there, and it's quite amazing. We're so thankful for Klassen and their experience and what they're doing for us there. Pastor Joshua will take some time later to give you a more detailed update on the campus progress and anticipated completion, so I'll save that for him. Next, let's consider from 2017 our growth. Finally, and most importantly, to see the growth of our church family and faith and life has been a highlight of this last year. Our people are maturing in faith, fighting sin, and growing in fellowship. Increasingly, people here are looking to live for God and joyfully submit to His living word. May disciples continue to grow and be a bright light of the gospel in our city and beyond in this new year of 2018. Very good. From here, I am going to pass the mic. Oh, excuse me. I did not recall one step of this process. So let me review the stats on your second page in your booklet. 2017 stats. In 2017, we had, as you can see there in your booklet, 3 baptisms. Our average Sunday worship attendance for 9 a.m. was 58 adults. For 11 a.m., 42 adults, thereby our average being 100 people. Children's ministry, 31 children. Praise God for the children's ministry volunteers, many in this room who are volunteering this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And those who are over there right now, praise God for the volunteers. And same for our youth. In youth ministry, we've seen 25 kids get ministered to and participate, grade 6 through 12. And again, thank you to the youth volunteers. Critically important to have people there working alongside Steve and helping minister to them. Next, adult membership. Members was officially 97. Is that the now correct number? Last year's number, right. So 103 now, praise God. And that includes 9 shut-in members, elderly who are in particular living situations that don't get to come in the regular gathering, but perhaps you would love to go see them and minister to them and love them. So consider that. And finally, adult groups. Number of groups, 12. Number of adults in groups, 101. That's so incredible. Praise God. Praise God that you all enjoy that or seeing the fruit of that and participating in that. So awesome. Very good. What a great year 2017 has been. We truly have so much to be thankful for. And let's look forward to 2018. Lord willing, it will likewise be diligent in growth for his glory. Pastor Rob, let me pass the mic to you, sir.
Good morning again. I'm going to bring the financial report to you guys. It's oftentimes can be kind of a boring aspect of the annual report, but in all seriousness, it is a real part of the stewardship that we've been given as leaders and as a church. We want to steward that well, and we want to just take a look at the way that our finances were used this last year and the way that we're going to try and budget just to use our finances in the coming year. So, you know, this year has been a great year of continued reforming of our financial practices and just slimming down some of the procedures that we use to steward our finances. At the beginning of the year, you remember we had our annual meeting in 2017 where Brian Bumacott, who had been helping us bring some of that reformation to our financial process, stepped down to take more responsibility at home with the three babies and his full-time job. It just got to be quite a bit on his plate. And so we were thankful for his service, and we've had some good changes in the way that we're doing our finances this year and handing over some of the data entry to our current staff, Marilyn and Kelly, helping to put some of the bills into the computer system. We have a QuickBooks software that we use. You guys may even use that in your own personal finances. It's really simple and easy to use. And learning to use some of those tools has been a great way to simplify our process. We have recently hired Jeremy Suniga, who, as you know, is our worship leader as well. He has been growing in his role in the motorcycle club that he and Josh are a part of. They do ministry outside of the church there. And Jeremy started out taking care of the books here locally and has grown to be the bookkeeper for the entire West Coast region of the club and has really just grown in that responsibility and role. And so we asked him to come on and just for a small stipend to add to his hours as a worship director to help manage the books for us too. So I'm still overseeing that. And of course, we are always leaning on the expertise of others within the church and outside the church. We currently have our books with a CPA who's done work for us in the past, has done some audits for us, and he's really doing a very thorough going through of our books. He actually has a copy of the software that we're using to go through it all line by line and just make sure that everything is still in place and being done right and making changes that might need to be made. So with that, let me direct you to the first page of your financial report there. We've got a summary of our income and expenses for 2017. And again, this is a way for us to be transparent in all that we're doing as leaders to lead the church in the financial aspect of the church. If you've got questions, don't hesitate to seek us out individually. We don't want to skip over anything, but I am going to go through this kind of quick today. There's a lot of details here that would put you to sleep if I tried to hit them all. But our income summary there, you see that our giving income for 2017 was $231,398. That is the offerings and the giving that comes from you, that you put in the offering boxes in the back or that you give online or that you send in the mail, however you do that. $150,000 of income came from our ranch last year. Now, if you're new and you don't know what that is, we had a longtime member that passed away several years ago and donated a very large portion of land to the church. And we have a annual income that's coming in from that sale for the next several years. So 150,000, that's not all that came from the ranch sale, but that was what was used in our annual budget last year. Other income that we had last year in the amount of $15,614 came from some of the interest on the money that we have in the bank for the sale of the new campus, or for the build of the new campus. I'm sorry, the money that's sitting in the bank to complete that project. We had a signed lease on the current property that we have over there that we make a little stipend from, and then there's some oil leases that have been donated to the church. We get a little bit of a monthly income from that. So that's the total there for those other sources of income. And then we had allocated, I believe it was $18,000 in our budget last year from our reserve account that we have, just basically our savings account. We anticipated needing to lean on that in the transition from the campus to the new location. We only ended up using $14,700 of that $18,000 we allocated. So that gave us a grand total of $411,700 in income last year. If you jump all the way to the bottom, you see that our total expenses were $411,614. So we ended the year in the black, $97. We weren't trying to go big. We just wanted to be black. That's all we need. No waste, you know. Waste not, want not. You've got a breakdown of the summary of the expenses there. You can refer back to that. I'm actually going to go through the next page, which gives a little bit more detail into some of those larger categories. If you want to turn with me to that page, I'm going to need my glasses for that one. Under payroll and benefits, I'm just going to go through a few of these that are kind of stand out as being maybe a little bit unique. The workers' comp insurance last year, that number is correct. It shows $357 negative. That's because the way workers' compensation insurance works is that you basically do a prepayment every year. They guesstimate how much payroll you're going to have for the year. They charge you for that, and then they audit you the following year and then adjust it accordingly. You might have to pay more, or you get a little refund. Because of the way that we changed our staff from 2016 to 2017, we actually had a credit that was so big it was less than what we had paid, or the credit was more than what we had paid. The next one I want to point out is under churchwide administration. The first line there, professional services, $4,000. You see, there wasn't anything budgeted for that. What that was the lawyer that we hired to help us do our bylaw revision. So that was not something we had originally put on our scope for the year. But the next one that I want to point out, excuse me? Right, that's true. We actually, that was the retainer, and the actual bill actually came in less than that. He gave us some of that stuff was free that he had anticipated, so we were blessed to only have a $3,000 bill. But we didn't get the refund yet, so that'll be this year. The telephone internet was a little bit high last year, just a change in prices there. You guys know how that is in your own home. Sometimes things jump up on you unexpectedly. Property taxes, $2,700 that we hadn't anticipated. We kind of missed that one. That's not something that we've had to pay as a church because churches are exempt from property taxes. But because the new property did not have a campus on it yet, we did have to pay property taxes on that for a portion of the year. So that's where that came from. Under the next line, taxes and fees, we budgeted $1,200 for that category, but we also have our blue pay fees. The BP fees there is the small percentage that we pay for using the online giving service, yes. So you can see it's a fairly significant number. That just shows that a lot of our giving now is coming from online. I think a lot of you have found it very easy to make your giving that way online. So Staff and leadership development at the bottom there. You know, we budgeted 4,000. We spent 5,990. We just really wanted to focus on that this year. It was a big part of looking forward to the transition that we're getting ready to make. We want to make sure that we're really pouring into our leaders. And also, just so you know, I mean, the way that we do a budget, we're not handcuffing ourselves and going, this is all we get to spend, and we're absolutely going to spend exactly what we budget. It is a very fluid document. At the end of the day, we're trying to be wise stewards of the resources that we have and make a good judgment guess as to what we're going to need to get through the year, depending on the different categories that we want to work on throughout the year. This document continues on the next page. If you want to flip it keeps going down. You'll see in that particular category, we ended $52,299 was our actual spending for the year, where we had only budgeted $44,000, and we kind of pointed out those few categories that made that go over. The maintenance budget is the next section. We had budgeted $81,000 and only spent $63,000 there. Part of that was our anticipated rent for the year wasn't as long as we thought. We didn't actually start paying rent until I think March or I think it was March. We had to put a big down payment before we moved in, so that was on the previous year's budget. Worship art section, $6,500 budgeted, $3,986 in actual expenses. And then going back to the previous page, you've got children's ministry, $4,500 budgeted, $2,249 actually spent, $4,500 for adult, $2,599 actually spent, $1,700 of that was adult volunteer appreciation. A big portion of that was the big party that we held in December. The youth budget is next. $5,000 budgeted there, $2,543 actually spent. And then our final categories are missions and outreach, $12,000 budgeted, $12,1873. We really blew that one. But that's a good category for us to go over in. We are supporting the Bakersfield Pregnancy Center. It was cool to get to go actually visit them this year and kind of do a tour of their facilities and see what they're doing and just really kind of be hands-on and know how they're using the money that they're receiving from us and from other places around Bakersfield. It's a great ministry that they're doing. We also support the mission at Kern County, Love Incorporated, and the Gospel Coalition on a national, that's the national chapter, not the national chapter, but the national organization there. We support the Drollards, who I failed to mention in my prayer for our missionaries. They are at Radius down in Mexico. As support staff, they're helping to train the missionaries who are coming in to train and then be sent out overseas, who both the Dykes and the Linders were part of that program. We also support our regional chapter of the Gospel Coalition, which we helped to get kicked off last year. We're going to be supporting them more this year moving forward. We had a missions other category. $1,700 in that category, where $1,200 was budgeted. Those are missionaries or groups that we had been supporting for part of the year and have concluded that support and looking to really be more intentional with the way that we're supporting our missionaries. We want to be more hands-on and partnering with the missions organizations and people that we're supporting. So we're looking forward to the way we're going to grow in that this year. All right, I think that's it. And again, like I said, if you notice anything, take these with you. You can email us, ask us if there's any particular thing you saw in there you want to ask about. We definitely want to get you those answers. The next sheet you have there on page 7 is the designated fund summary. What this is a quick explanation. We have our general budget that we just looked at. And then for years we've been, and I don't even know how long we've been doing this, with a 128-year-old church, it's been a long time, but we've been doing what's called fund accounting. And it's basically a way to keep income sources and budget categories distinct from each other, separate from each other. It's used a lot in government operations where you're trying to pay for projects, like a freeway project where you have a bond or something that comes in, and they keep all of that money separate, and it can't get mixed up or muddled with other sources of taxpayer revenues. And in churches, they do this a lot of times when they've got ministries that are operating with income sources that are not part of the regular budget. We do this. We have gotten to a way that we're doing or practicing our finances that it's really just not a necessary tool anymore. We are slowly beginning to phase out some of these accounts, if you want to call them, in this designated fund. So starting at the top there, you look and see we have the administrative designated accounts. One of these was called outside events. With our previous campus, we had a lot of room that wasn't being used. We would use the campus for other organizations to come in, and they would pay a fee to use the campus. We had general account for administrative, and I can't even remember exactly how that was used, but we had a memorial account. There's the beginning balance there of what was in those accounts that have really probably been there for years. We dispersed those accounts this year, and you see that we ended with a zero. Those were moved into other parts of the designated fund so that they could be used where we needed them. Worship arts, we had $613 in there for repairs and maintenance. Again, that was a separate category of repair and maintenance budget for worship arts that we didn't really need separately. We've got that same budget category in our general fund, so that got moved out. Children's designated fund, we've had money sitting in the Roger Pell's memorial for years since he passed away and left a nice, generous donation there. The Balls Memorial, $1,500. Those categories have been moved into the children's portion of our building budget so that we can use some of those funds to help with the children's building and playground. Adult ministry designated. Several of those categories there, you can see on your far left, have been zeroed out. The ones that are red, that were red at the beginning of the year, were balanced out by moving some of those around. It's all, again, it's just part of the process of trying to streamline our financial bookkeeping so that it's clean and not so muddled. Some of this stuff can really get convoluted when it gets when you get so many categories there, especially ones that are not being used anymore. Student ministry, scholarships, we've got $1,500 in there to be used for future camps. Family events, that was cleaned up. We no longer are going to be using that account. Missions and outreach, this is the exciting category. We've got under missions, we started the year with $37,677 in that account. We spent a total of $30,764 in supporting missions last year. $20,000 of that was a gift to Radius to help build a second facility to train more missionaries. We were excited to get to partner with them in that. We're looking forward to seeing more opportunities there. We also supported the lenders. We were able to help them get their going away fund finished up with a gift of $5,000, and we're also supporting them on an ongoing way with $500 a month. The Deacons Fund, we spent $12,337 out of our Deacons Fund last year to help families within our own church with different needs that came up throughout the year. Our food pantry, we had a food pantry that was pretty active at the old campus. Here at the new facility, it's been a little tight on space, so we haven't had that here. The next category is the building fund. This is a complete total picture of where we're at year to date with the building fund. It started out technically $52,000 in the red. That's just where the date ended from deposits and credits kind of thing. It wasn't really negative. We always had the money in a different account. Part of that fund accounting again. We have to transfer money from a different account to O3 accounts where we have our actual cash sitting to earn interest for us, and then when we have to spend it, we move it into a checking account. If it sounds confusing, it is. We had $2.8 million in disbursement so far as we're paying for the project now. We're getting close to wrapping that up. So total designated funds activity, we ended the year with $92,000 sitting in the bank, and you know, it's still fun to say that that's actual money. It's not an IOU. It's not a technical number on a piece of paper. We have that money sitting in the bank. So praise God. The next thing I want to point you to is our 2018 budget. So again, we're taking our best shot, you know, at guessing at what we're going to have for income this year and what we're going to need to do the ministry that we feel led to do, that we feel God has called us to, ultimately to make disciples. So our first category is our payroll and benefits. The budget this year for that is $295,000 in total. That's all of the cost to the church, everything that is in that category, health insurance, taxes, employer paid, payroll taxes, all of that is in that category. Administration, we've got $15,000 there under advertising and public relations. This is going to be a big year for us. Josh is going to speak more to that, but we've got money designated there to really get the word out, get the message out that we've arrived, that we're in our new facility, and that we are open for the business of making disciples and to be able to invite people. Taxes and fees, we did get that back on the radar this year, $2,500. $5,000 for staff and leadership development for 2018. We saw a need for that last year and want to continue to really focus on that in this new season of growth. The campus, we budgeted $61,000, if I'm reading that right. Again, boy, this one here is really, we had to guess on this one. I mean, we're moving into a brand new facility that no one has any history in as far as electric bills and water bills and gas bills and all of that. And we believe that with the wisdom and counsel of others that we've made a good guess at what that's going to be. We've budgeted, $12,000 for our electric, $2,000 for gas, $3,000 for water. We've tried to be thorough there, and we'll continue to do what we've done over the last several years, is to look at our budget month by month and make sure that we're living within those categories and make adjustments as needed. The next category is our worship department. We've got $5,000 budgeted for worship ministries. $4,000 for our children's ministry, $8,500 for our adult ministry. A big part of the bump in that category is, again, it just, you know, related to the move into the new building. We really want to focus on some special events and some outreach events to get the word out. $4,000 for our youth department. And then this year, $23,000 going to missions and outreach. We'll continue to support some local agencies here, the Bakersfield Pregnancy Center. You see those. We've got the Dykes, who we're supporting this year at $500 a month. The Linders, we continue to support them at $500 a month. Reformation Bakersfield is the partnership that we have with Sovereign Grace and a few other churches here locally to bring in some solid speakers for some good theological training. And you'll hear more about that throughout the year. And just blessed with the opportunity to get to do that and to probably be hosting most of those at our new facility. So finally, the way that we've projected the income for 2018, we had $232,000 was our actual giving for 2017. We believe it's a very conservative guess to believe that giving income hopefully grows to at least $260,000 with the move into the new campus and just the new families that we've been getting and we'll anticipate that we continue to get. $5,000 in other income. We've got a few sources of income still coming in. We obviously aren't going to have the interest income as the money that's sitting in the bank goes out to pay for the campus. We are still budgeting $150,000 of income from the ranch money this year. And then also $23,000 of the ranch income specifically to go towards missions. And that's how we're covering our missions and outreach. And then the reserve allocation that's available to the budget, should we end up needing it, is $16,000, down a little bit from last year. And I think that is it for me. So I'm going to hand the mic back to Josh.
The rabbit hole with our fund accounting is deep. And Rob has bared a huge weight this year with our admin team of trying to untangle the mess. And it's still not quite done. Even in the hours and days to come with Dave Livengood, one of our financial accountants that we work with for auditing and stuff, there's some work to do as we get ready for our loan and the rest of that. So thank you. I know you don't do it for that, but thank you for all your hard work. I mean, wherever Lori is, thank you for your husband working a third job. Okay. Oh, she's in with the kiddies. Okay. All right. Man, praise God. Amen. I want to talk about where we're headed in 2018. Our mission as a church to glorify God through lives that are being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is our mission. In this new year of 2018, continues to be our mission. It is why God is continuing us and not ending this church, to be faithful and focused in all we do to glorify Him, to make disciples unto the nations, as we're more actively doing in this recent season, and seeing lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we heard testimony and we're seeing evidence of that. By God's grace and sovereign will, we will continue. Church, remember, this is your mission statement. It's not just mine or the elders or the staff. It's all of ours. This is our church's mission statement. May we truly own it. May it be on your walls, in your homes, and in your hearts, and on your minds as you go throughout your day. that this is why we labor together in what God has before us. Let me look to our beliefs and bylaws. In 2017, we were blessed to finally revise and update and improve our statement of beliefs, as Matt talked about. It was an amazing testimony of our unity of the body and the growth that God has been doing in our body in the area of Bible study and preaching and midweek catechism work, that everyone who voted said they agreed with our new beliefs. That's unheard of. And it's a sweet evidence of God's work in the life of our church. Our last step in repairing our foundation as a church and protecting us legally is to adopt our new bylaws. Our old bylaws are very outdated and very much lacking in biblical soundness and representing us rightly. For 6 months, we consulted other churches and some of the best church law experts out there to partner with us in the revamp of our bylaws. You all received them 4 weeks ago at our December 31st, 2017 Sunday service, as instructed in our current bylaws we had to do. They were posted on the table, and you all had a copy that went home. You were asked to review them and pray, and so that we could come together today to vote. And so we're going to do that now. If our host could begin to make the voting cards and move them around the room. We are going to approve these bylaws, these new bylaws, if God wills, by a vote, and move into our future from this day forward with these legally protecting us. We're going to pass out the ballots as you receive them. If someone wants to jump up and assist, every person can have a ballot in the room and participate, but the current bylaws call that only the members who are present today can count as a vote. So don't hesitate, if you're not a member, to participate. I know many of you who are regular and not quite members here took time to read the bylaws, and I appreciate that. It was a wonderful joy to hear you take time to do that and to ask us questions and to affirm that. But we are looking formally for the vote of the members to make this change official. That's why your name on there, so we can confirm that you are a member, and then your vote to be counted. One of the stresses of our legal counsel is to make sure that we do these votes as according to the current bylaws and transition rightly. So please fill out the vote being given to you and then pass them back to the edges, and our host or leadership can come by and collect them. Every member who's present today needs to do this. Leaders, even the workers in the children's room will participate or already have been asked to. And then I will report the results of the vote later in the meeting. Your options there are you approve or not, or you abstain. I hope that if you're thinking about abstaining, you would have taken time to ask us questions about it. But those are the formally three options before you. And while you do that, it's appropriate and okay. There's extras up here. I'm just going to say a quick prayer. So it's okay that you continue to move. I'm just going to pray over the process. Lord, I thank you for this time together in the life of our church. I thank you for the last 4 weeks of reviewing these, the questions that have been asked, the clarity that's been given, the encouragements that have been shared. And Lord, if it be your will, Lord, you would cause us to pass the approval of our new bylaws and finally be in a much better place of protection legally for our church than we've been in the last couple decades, with all the advances in California law and Lord, we just pray over our nation. We pray over the work of the enemy to try to come at the priorities of a holy God, that you would reign perfectly in all these matters, that we would be diligent in looking to protect our flock well and steward it well, rightly and honorably, and that you would endure us, Lord. At any given moment, frivolous things can come at us, accusation or attack. And so, Lord, we just want to be ready. We want to be ready to be full of faith, to not be offended if a world that hates you wants to hate the church. But Lord, that this step today would be an act of protection to further govern our church body better moving forward. And we are thankful for the work that you have done and are doing in us and look forward to the results in a little bit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for participating. Anyone not get a chance to participate that desired to, Everyone got a vote. Very good. Let's talk about our finances. Very critical insight that I need to give you. The final year of our transition, God has set in motion just some amazing things. It really started when our former lead pastor hired a large staff around him, by which God had brought a lot of like-mindedness in that team, and together with Mike began to work towards needed reform. And one of the big steps we took back then was the elder governance vote and movement, transition in our preaching emphasis in that season, and then it just continued to carry on from there. And he's confirmed us in so many amazing ways along the way, and has taken us on an amazing journey. Church, you needed to know that the transition that we have been through in the last 5 to 10 years and where we're about to go is just unheard of. The vastness of this church, its history, I've always likened to taking a huge ship and trying to turn it around in a very narrow canal. And we've taken some damage along the way, where there's been some hard seasons of seeing loved ones decide to part ways, and there's been seasons where we've really stretched and we've lived thin, and we've endured through just trying to stay faithful to God and His Word, and reformation in me that's had to happen in a lot of these years of just wanting to be faithful to the Word, and changes that had to happen within my own convictions and priorities in our leadership. And just to see what God has done is just really phenomenal. And so we really...
Hey, Josh, give me 15 seconds.
Please, okay. Please.
Okay. Those of you who don't know, I devoted 25 years of my life to the church, its predecessors and whatnot, of different names. It was exactly the last quarter of a century of whatever that previous century was. And I just want to say, thank you for taking what so many of us have devoted our lives to, for taking it, and it's in good hands. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Bill. Bill and Billy welcomed Jennifer and I to Bakersfield in 2002 and took us to Carl's Jr. And like still to date, it's one of my favorite meals I've had. Not necessarily because of the food, although the crisp-cut fries are good. Love you, brother, and love your bride, and rejoicing that she is in glory with our great God. It's a treat to have you here today. Thank you. I'm thankful for our church's history. Bill helped touch on that. The generosity and the faithfulness, and especially in giving. Our church... It within the American Baptist ranks of our old partnerships was just had an unheard of giving margin of generosity and participation for the amount of people we had. I'm just so thankful for the endurance and what God has done. I'm thankful that many of you have either started giving for the first time in your life or have improved your regular giving and the amount that you're committing to the Lord's work. I've never heard from any individual or family that was sorry they made this adjustment to obey God in the area of giving of their first fruits and making those repentant changes or beginnings. People are blessed to be a part of what God is doing and to worship Him with their first fruits, and to see what then He does with what remains has just been powerful. Mike, who shared earlier his testimony, Mike and Jordan, was one of my favorite testimonies in this last couple of years. A couple of years ago, he just in a panic, wanted to talk to me. Okay, what's going on, Mike? He said, I need to confess to you my ignorance and my joy. He just said, I knew I needed to sit with Matt and begin the area of being discipled in our finances, and I knew we were not in a healthy place. So in sin, I avoided him for 3 months. And I committed to that, and I wanted to do that, and I'm here to tell you that already in like 45 days, we are in a unanimously better place financially. I just get chills saying it. He was so excited. He says, I'm an idiot. I waited this long and was so excited to just confess the journey of starting to look at finances in a God-honoring way, to participate with giving first fruits, to paying off debt. And as he testified today, they're just in a great place. Praise God. So thank you, Mike, for allowing me to share that. So I'm doing that with permission. You know, praise God for humility when we can even look back and see our how God's growing us. So that said, here we find ourselves in our last year of this transition and reform, moving into our new campus. And I want you to look back with me at the 2018 budget. So the page that Rob left us off on and the projected income for 2018 in the bottom right-hand corner. This is page 8 in your packet. One of the realities of our effort to reform and focus on our growth and the depth of our people and no longer just look for the masses to be kept happy meant the exodus of a great number of people who said, when you start taking away these surfacey things that I love, I'm going to leave. Or teaching scripture in a more convicting way, many people said, I just can't go there. It's not the God I believe in. I'm going to find something new. And the reality of that change and painful transition was also a reality of hundreds of thousands of dollars of giving leaving our church. One of the reasons why many pastors tell me often, people don't do what you guys have done because they follow the money. No one would attempt to do this knowing that hundreds of thousands of dollars would exit. And it just, praise God for his endurance to continue to carry us through, to come out of $1 million of debt in the early part of 2014, be debt-free since, and to continue on in years where we're actively stewarding what God's entrusting to us is a great joy. And as we've heard today and seen over the last 10 years, there's an excitement about moving forward. And this means an adjustment in our people and our giving amounts across the board. And so practically, a smaller church body that is our size has a smaller staff than we have. Most by half. Most churches our size have 1 to 3 staff members. We have 6. This has been an intentional investment by our leadership, the board of a long time prior to the new biblical eldership and us since then, to invest in the transition with that portion of the Hershey Ranch money to help us make it through the turn, with the belief that God just might will to grow us so that we'd be a church that would be able to accommodate the staff that we have right now. And we wanted to be forward-thinking and trust in him, and we love our staff. And we wanted to see what God would do with that moving forward. So we committed that $150,000 a year to helping us transition. It is also our belief that God is preparing us for something more in our rebirth and new campus, and that this would mean an increase of conviction and involvement by our core church family and an increase of people coming to join us, buying into what God is doing with us, joining us, and then regularly giving, thereby seeing an increase in our giving income. That $150,000 annually, this is the last year that that number gets to be there. Next year, in 2019, it drops to $50,000. That's part of our budgeting transition to pay for the campus and to finish out the next 3 years of Hershey Ranch money coming in with the goal of being debt-free still at the end of all this and having lived within God's means. What that means is we have to make up at least $100,000 of income as we approach 2019. Because that income number is going to change. Now, let me be clear. This is not new news to our staff. All of our new staff have been hired with a clear understanding that we're in a very serious transition and that every year we'll have to reevaluate our ability to continue to have a staff this size. They've joyfully said, I'm joyful to serve in the time I get to be here. And if God wills us to continue that, then great. And if not, then I'll find another way to make money and continue to be a major part of this church moving forward. Right? None of them, I can speak for them, are, worried more about their job than what they're getting to do to be part of our church. And so we joyfully have a great team that God's been working in this transition, and I'm thankful for each of them and their attitudes to this. There are a couple of things that will help us in what's needed for 2019 next year. When we move into our new campus, number one, we will have less campus expenses than we have this year. Think about that. Our campus budget, by my projection, will be at least $20,000 less. One of the reasons why is it's very expensive to rent. We will be in a paid-for, mortgage-free setup next year. And that's because the Hershey Ranch project is carrying the weight of even the loan that we're going to take out while that Hershey Ranch money comes in. To date, not a dollar of this new build is on the current congregation. The selling of the Olive Drive campus and the Hershey Ranch money is covering it. So when we move into the new campus, solar added, the projection is with less rent, $5,500 a month for this spot, off the books halfway through the year, and then in fully off the books in 2019, we get to see less of an expense there. That's one benefit that helps us make up that difference. Number two is addressing renters. If you remember, one of the great ways that the Elder Board and I strategized our last years at the Olive Drive campus was beginning to bring in renters, people who were kingdom-minded, helping other churches and legacy and the Alzheimer's community, that which was already there, but the baseball community, come in and be renters. And that generated for us almost $150,000 a year in revenue and was a huge help to offsetting a lot of what that was. And while we don't have the space to rent it out like that in our new campus, there is a desire to find people who would be right partners to use the church campus during the hours that we're not using it, especially the family center, so that God's kingdom resources are being used around the clock. The worst thing we should do is build a $7 million facility so it can only be used by us a couple times a week. That would be so wrong. So pray with me that God would be preparing who would be the right partners to have on the campus parts of the week. And that rental income is another anticipated revenue source in moving forward. How long it takes us to identify who that is the question. But we're praying that God would provide it. Both of those parts, lower campus cost, increased revenue from the renting of the campus, are parts of the answer. But there's three ways that you all have a major part of this moving forward. Number one, everyone who calls Disciples Church your home needs to be regular and generous in giving of your first fruits. That's not my idea. That's our holy God's command on his people. Currently, I'm going to give you some stats for this. We have 100 members and about 40 prospective members. Of that 140 people that generally call Disciples Church their home, we have on the books in 2017, 80 people who gave. Of those 80 givers, 50 were regular, 5 were new, 12 were irregular, and 10 gave once or twice. So we have a blessed participation of giving. I would say, unfortunately, related to a lot of other churches, the giving margins are not very healthy, although I would expect the true believers of God to be faithful to his call in our lives. So half of our current regular attending family and 2/3 of our members are participating. I love you all enough to say that needs to improve. If you are saved and if the Lord gives you an income, you need to be honoring him with some portion regularly of your first fruits. It is just that simple. The Lord will provide and can be trusted with this. To challenge or reject this is to straight up deny God what he declares is best for us. Please prayerfully consider honoring him in this area as we move into 2018, and I promise you will be better off for it, and God will be honored. If you are struggling, then reach out and let us help and walk with you. Mike's testimony is one of many where we've been blessed to come alongside families and individuals and just help them and grow with them and move with them and walk with them, and even the baby steps sometimes that are needed. It's a joy. Your shepherds, your finances is not an off-limits area of your life. Your shepherds can and should be involved in walking with you in that area. It's amazing to me sometimes that people will say, I'll let my pastors into the most intimate, darkest parts of my life, but I won't let you into my finances. You see how that doesn't add up? Like, all parts of who we are part of God's work. So I'm not saying you have to, but I'm saying don't be afraid to if you're struggling, if you're going, hey, I don't see how I do this. Well, great, let us come alongside you and we'll begin to look to simply honor God, not to dictate, not to prescribe, but to give recommendation and help and advice that we could continue to see that improve. I ask you to do this prayerfully, and that if God brings good conviction, that you would respond. That's all I care about. I care less about where you've been. I care much more about where we're going. So let's look to the future in that way. The second way we can address our financial needs is to have this size staff in the future, is to become a bigger church again. Now, if you know me, I've worked long and hard to reform my own life and ministry to shed a man-driven construct that says numerical growth is the goal and the measuring stick of a healthy church. It's sad that that's really the driver for many congregations. You heard Matt speak earlier about the growth in our church. That growth is not related to numbers. It's related to depth. It's related to life change. It's related to disciples being made and maturing and multiplying. That's the growth that we're most concerned about here in our church. We could be 80 people and be radically making disciples and impacting our community, but it would mean we don't have the size staff we do now. That's okay. Our staff's ready to make the needed adjustments if that's God's will for our future. No one's holding anything hostage. But I believe when I study churches, I found that a church starts to get big after they hit the 500 or 600 mark. We've aimed in all of the years of research and study, it's one of the reasons why we've built our campus the size it is. People are saying, oh, Pastor, you guys are going to grow and you're going to grow. And I go, we don't plan to ever get bigger than 500 or 600 people. My goal is by the time we hit that number, we've prepared enough leadership to be multiplying. Our 300 church sanctuary times two is what I hope we ever have to capacity. And churches who swell beyond that, often when I've asked them, why are you building more buildings and not planting? You know what their answer to me is? We have not discipled enough leadership to send them out. And I just feel like when I study the scripture, that's a backwards model. So we'll continue to lean in. But here's the thing. I believe that we who we are, Disciples Church now, and what God has coming is something special. Not because we're necessarily special, but because God is doing something special in and through us. Amen?
Amen.
If I'm honest, most of us have come to really enjoy the intimacy and closeness of our church family. And I am thankful for that. We elders praise God for it often. But we cannot selfishly keep this thing to ourselves. If you are honest, we are way too closed-mouthed about what God's doing in our lives and in our church. You need to politically risk with way more people that God has in your life to love them enough to tell them what God's doing in your life. I don't care if your work relationships get weird. I don't care if your neighbors stop waving at you. I don't care if your family starts turning against you. It's why God's giving you breath today. Don't keep this thing to yourself. We need to risk in 2018. And all I ask is that we put ourselves out there. God is in charge of the growth. If you've done that faithfully and we're 100 people at the end of the year, so be it. God controls those things. I've moved out of a system by which I was good at manufacturing growth in my business and in my early ministry career. The ploys used to do that is not what this calls for the church to be about. And so we've tried to put that behind us. Now, we will try to be strategic and not wasting our opening. So we will do some advertising. We will have some campaigns and some efforts. But you all, if I have you all stand up about how you connected to us, almost all of you, your story is connected to someone else in the room. So why are we going to go spend hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to get someone else to come who doesn't even know any of you? The best way this church is going to grow, if we want to see it grow, if we want to address some of these areas, is you all opening your mouths, picking up the phone, having some dinners, having some coffee, and inviting people.
Go to Carl's Jr.
Excuse me.
Um, You have to realize that God has strategically placed each of us in different social, living, family, and work circles. That's a major part of how God intends to grow his kingdom. We go and make disciples, testify, be his witnesses among those that are in our life. The diverse connections our church has is his plan. Scott Underhill has different friends and coworkers than I do, different than Scott Waterman, different than Mike Appleton, different than Leslie Foster. We have different neighbors, different coworkers, different family. Why? So the impact of what God's doing in 100 people can multiply out into this community and beyond. But you have to not be quiet. You have to risk and invite and pray for and be active in tending to those that God's put around you. And so with that, we want to hand out a card. And I want to ask you to do something very specific with me in the coming 3 to 4 months. I'm calling this the Future Disciples effort. The card says Future Disciples, and then it says, Jesus said, go and make disciples. And then it says, in obedience to Scripture, it is my joy to faithfully plant seeds, pray for, and eventually invite to bring the following 5 families or people to our new church campus. I want to ask you not to run out the door today and start inviting people. If you did that, we'd have no place to put them. I'm not saying don't bring people to church, especially second service. We've got a little more room. But I am asking you to very specifically invest. I want you to till the soil. So I want you to start by not flippantly, but very prayerfully picking 5. 5 individuals or 5 families. Don't even fill it out now. Go home, spend some time. And I want you to look at this picture. This is the picture that Matt mentioned. This is the day we prayed over our campus last year. A good portion of us showed up at the dirt to pray. I want you to look behind us at the dirt, at where the buildings are now going to be. I want you to picture who else might be part of this family in that space. If we choose to do nothing and 100 of us finish the year together, shame on us. But if you guys go get it, then it's up to God. We just got to do what he's commanded us to do. Every one of us should be doing it. The invite cards, we have a big old box of them. Can we make sure that box gets pulled out? I would love all those invite cards to not be left in the box at the end of the day. The gray cards, we have those available. Any what's left of them? The gray invite cards about we're building something new. The handout card. No. The one we used. Rob, that one. Look at what Rob's holding, that card. Can we pull the box of those out, please? Church, I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not doing. Jennifer and Nikki will testify to this. They saw me on my doorstep camera witnessing to the salesman that came to my door the other day. He wanted to pitch me, and I talked to him a little bit, and I said, hey, I have something for you. And I went inside and got it, and I brought it up. I said, I just want to tell you the most exciting thing that's happening in my life right now. I'm part of a great church, and we're building a new campus. I'd love to invite you to come and check it out. Dude, I'm giving those to everyone. They're in my car. They're in my house. They're in Jennifer's car. We should just be handing them out like pot. Every time you go into the store, shame on you if you only buy tomatoes, keep your head down and leave. Find someone to love on, pray for, and invite them to church. Make purposeful everything that God does in our path. But specifically, who has God put in your life that either is not saved and needs Jesus? I don't care how long you've known them to be rotten. I can show you some really rotten people that God transformed. Amen? All right? Or people you know that are just real flippant about their church involvement. They kind of go, they attend, they check that box. Do those people need to be rescued from religion? Love them enough to say, man, come get involved in a church that's going to love you, know you, disciple you. I'd love for you to come see what's going on there. Who needs a healthy church? Who's unsaved and needs Jesus? Prayerfully consider who that is in your life. I have people actively that I'm pursuing that you're going to start seeing coming around because the conversation is getting real close with some of them. And I pray you would join me in this. I want to hear from you. how this is going. Great scripture on the back to meditate over. Put this on your fridge. Set it on your table at night when you dine. Put it in your car. Be active. And in the coming weeks, start to plant seeds. Take them to lunch. Invite them to coffee. Start to share. Start to hear their story. Start to get involved in bringing them around, getting close. So when we do the grand opening, they're ready. And in those coming months, you start bringing them. And here's the other thing, church. We've got to be ready to receive them. You're not volunteering. We need you volunteering. Why? Because if God's going to bring us new people, we got to love them well. Okay? So that's all part of this journey moving forward. I pray you will join me in it, in this effort in the coming year to testify and invite and help us receive those who would come through our doors. I'm really excited to see what our church family is going to do as we grow. Next, our new campus update. Check out the screen. I want to give you a quick tour as of Friday of our new campus. You can kill these spotlights. So check out this first picture. That was at our groundbreaking, real close to that. This is the picture from the Bakersfield Californian, me standing next to our sign with the dirt behind us and an image of what that campus would be. The sidewalk has been poured on the street. This is the front of the family center. This is the front of the family center as well. This is the looking kind of down the corridor into the play yard, that's the quad in front, but behind it is the grass and the sump. This is the quad. They're getting ready to pour all the quad. It's going to be gorgeous. And a planter that's going to have trees in it. We can do outdoor services on the quad. Probably sit 200 or 300 people out there. Outdoor weddings. It's going to be really cool. This is in the lobby looking out of the front of the worship center. Go back to that picture real quick. One of the cool design elements is the rock work that goes around this accent point comes in and it wraps around this piece. It breaks into the building. The rock work is a really cool design feature. That's the coffee bar kitchen. This is looking into the coffee bar kitchen. When the weather's good, you can get your drinks outside and sit on the little patio. This is our huge cry room. And get to really feel like you're part of the room. It's a very expansive window. One of the biggest things I learned in touring the campus, everyone said our cry room's too small. Closets, right? We have an awesome cry room moving forward. It's going to be great. This is standing on the stage looking out over the congregation where you all are going to be. How cool is that? High ceiling. This is looking from the congregation at the stage. TV's on the wall. This is looking in. Go back a picture. On the stage is a stage level loading dock. So going through now that back door behind the stage. Now go. This is that storage room with a truck loading dock. So everything is moved at that height. Piano, baptismal, all rolls through a single height. We're not going up and down ramps. Where the wheelchair lift is going to be. Wheelchair, come on, lift up. I know what you're thinking. It looks fun. And then get on the stage. This is the admin entrance for our weekly people coming in. Our receptionist, a little behind the window here, our little seating area. This is our conference room. This is looking down the corridor of the new office and the different offices throughout it. This is the kids' play yard area. All of these are the children's classrooms, which comes out to a gated play yard with play toys and one of the projects I'm going to talk to you about in a moment. Next one. This is out in the grass area quad looking at the staging area on the back of the family center. We've designed it so that the back of the family center worship room can open up and we can set up staging to do outdoor worship, movie nights, and indoor-outdoor weddings. There's a lot of cool feature and function with that part of the back of the family center. When you're down in the intersection looking up, that's what you see. That's the building front you see. This is Dudley, our on-site manager. He's a member at the Bridge and a great guy. And he's waiting for his licorice and popcorn. At the back of that building is the snack bar that services the kids and the youth. And when we do outdoor events, we can get our little goodies through the snack bar. So that's the design for that. This is inside that worship space for the family center. Looking at our great room stage will fill this space here, most of it, and a TV above. This is our stained glass windows from the chapel is in the entry of the family center. So see the space where those will go up above? So at night when those are lit, you will be able to see through the front windows of the family center and see the life of Christ in the stained glass windows. Those come from our home at Truxton. So praise God. This is looking, the standing on the worship floor of the main chapel, looking at the sound booth. Outdoor patio for the outdoor coffee bar. Standing in the very back corner, looking back at the family center through what will be some of the grass play yard back here outside. And then this is the very extreme corner with Hegman here and the train tracks here. And this is where our sea trains are going to go. We're getting ready to bring them over. The front of worship, again, this will be all rock. We lifted the cross up even higher. I wanted to make sure you could see it from all the horizons. At night, we're going to light it from the front and the back. So the cross is just going to fly high. Amen? It's going to be really great. And can't wait. So that's it. Praise God. Matt said that we broke ground in May 17 with class, and they've done a great job. I've shown you some of the progress. Happy to report the completion of our new campus is just 3 to 4 months away. We are anticipating, as we have from the beginning, getting access to it in May-ish, moving in. So we're still looking at that May-June time frame. Church, that's coming real fast. Can you bring these lights back up a little, Sharon, please? So there's some critical things that need to happen as we prepare for that. Number one, we got to secure our loan. You're saying, what loan? I thought we're paying for all this. The amount we've received from selling the Olive Drive campus and the generous contribution of the Hershey family is going to pay for our $7 million facility. We've worked really hard to build something within our funds so that we're not in debt at the end. I'm telling you, that has been a ton of hard work. New construction is not cheap. Okay, praise God that we're looking to arrive. Part of that funding that we're going to lean on to complete paying off the project is $600,000 to $1 million that we're going to borrow for just 3 years. And it's all leaning, not on our giving, but on that incoming Hershey money in its last stretch. So we're just going to borrow against a steady income stream to help complete paying that off. At the end of that little period of time, we will be back to being debt-free and are very excited about the conservative way that we're approaching that. Please pray for the application of the loan and all that to happen in a timely manner so that as we now approach the last phase of the project, that all comes in line. Please pray. We're feeling a little bit of the timing of that, so need your prayers on that. If you have more questions about that, let us know. Special above and beyond giving to the new campus projects. It is unheard of that a congregation our size would get to build such a beautiful, state-of-the-art new campus without asking the congregation for $1 to do it. All of your giving has gone towards the operation of this ministry, not towards the building of the new campus. We've worked really hard in selling the other campus and purposing those funds to the new home to continue to do that. This is a special gift from God and the fruit of those who have generously given from generations past and our responsibility to carry on the legacy of First Baptist Church of Bakersfield. It also represents a lot of financial discipline on our end over the last 5 years to be conservative and not spend money on other things. The discipline to finish within budget is ongoing and all fine-tuning in the construction in these last phases, but it leaves a few special projects that you've asked me for opportunity to contribute to the new building, and I'm going to tell you finally what that is today. Turn with me to the next page in your packet. Many of you have said, Josh, we would really like to have hands-on contribution to the building of the new campus. How can we do that? I love that question, and I'm going to show you how. There's an opportunity for the need of $50,000 to cover these three expenses. Man, if we would get more than that, I'm telling you, it would help me not lose as much hair. But this is what we're putting before you. Three things that I think are very exciting for us all to be part of. Number one, our monument sign. Will you pray? The county right now is this close to giving us permission to fly in our big monument sign out on the main corner. One of the reasons why we bought this property. I'm showing you an early rendering of what we'd like that sign to look like. and very excited about a 20-foot wide, 6-foot high, large monument out on that corner. And budgeting $5,000 to $8,000 to get all that done, okay, and built and constructed. If you'd like to help contribute to that, we'd love for you to participate. Number two, the play yard. We don't have to have a new state-of-the-art play yard when we open our buildings, but we would like to have the right flooring that has fall ratio that code requires, some new play equipment out there, and really have it be a hallmark part of the opening of our campus. As you heard earlier, the Pels and Balls Memorial is already going towards this to really put some of those dollars from two great families in the ground in our future campus. But would you also consider helping that come to life, even for some of our older kids, having some elements maybe outside of that play yard in the back grass area as well? And we're targeting about $30,000 for that to do all that. And then padded chairs. We have 100 padded chairs. You're sitting in them. We have a new chapel that can take 315 padded chairs at about $65 a padded chair. That's about $12,000. I want you to think about it like this. We don't buy padded chairs. We don't have room for new people to come. We invest in some new padded chairs. It's like starting that investment in, God, who will you fill those seats with that is going to come be part of what we're doing? Some of you are going, wow, Pastor, $50,000 for those three things. We don't make that kind of money to contribute large dollar amounts. Maybe some of you do. Maybe you have the opportunity to do some really significant hits on that number. I'd love to see you do that in the coming months. Some of you may be going, I don't even know if I could do anything at all. And so I ask you, at a minimum, would you consider sponsoring a chair or two at $65 each? $100, $120. Would you get involved in at least that much? If we all 100 of us did that, either two per family or one per individual, we'd cover the 200 more chairs we need to buy as just a step in this direction. If you can do more, 500, 1,000, there's something else that you've got a little tucked away you'd like to put towards having some investment in the future campus, this is the way we'd want you to do that. Your instructions of how to do that are here. All we need to do on the giving envelope in the box or in the one you mail to just follow these instructions so we know how to put it towards the special project giving. I don't want you to go in debt to do this. If you have the means that God's provided, praise God. If not, the rest of us will carry some of this and we'll trust God with what we're able to get done. Amen? Did you get your question answered, Gina? Okay. Finally, sign up and serve for our new campus. Hosting team, can you pass on that one last document? If this document's called All Hands on Deck. To wrap up, we need to talk about what we will need by our congregation to move in and get ready to open our doors. I am pleased to report today that two of our biggest projects that were on our list of to-dos. So there is a portion of the building of the campus and the moving in that we had to identify that Disciples Church would do and not paying the contractors in Classen to do. Part of getting the budget sound, part of letting us have some hands-on, and not knowing if we'd have enough money. Two of the biggest projects that we said we could do if we had to is laying floor, our beautiful carpet and tiles. Maybe not the carpet, maybe the tiles we could lay, and painting all the interior to the tune of some pretty big price tags. I'm pleased to tell you that I believe it's within the scope that professionals will get to lay our floor, and as of the bids I received this week, that we're going to be able to afford to pay a crew to paint all the interior. Amen? Some of you are like, I like to paint. Dude, not 20,000 square feet of buildings, all right? So with that said, what is before you now are the projects on us in the next 3 months to accomplish. Yes? Paper. More papers? Number one, worship and lobby. We have to install part of our audio, visual, and lighting. We've kept part of that for us to do. Vic Posey is our lead on that. Ed Childress is closely helping him. If you'd like to be part of some of the construction elements of building and installing some of that, we'd like for you to consider joining that team. Number two, kitchen equipment. We're going to install all of our new kitchen appliances, unpack our kitchen from our previous kitchen, and then stock our new kitchen. Jeremy Sunaga, who has many, many years in the kitchen, is our overseer on that part of the project. So if you're interested in helping him install the kitchen and unstock it and get all that, we could use you there. Decor, furnishing and decorating the campus. Marilyn Stone's going to oversee a team to do that. She's already got a great start on it. Classroom and office, the IT that's needed in all the classrooms, video screens, hanging those on the wall and getting some of that plugged in. If you've got a real knack for IT stuff, we could use your help on Scott Waterman's team with some hours to get that laid out and installed. The baptismal construction, we're going to build a brand new baptismal that rolls onto the stage and off the stage and looks beautiful and stairs to get up in it, drains in and out so we can fill it with warm water. Got a great little system for this thing, but we got to build this thing. Don Bledsoe is going to oversee that project and could use some construction help and prowess to execute that under some beautiful completion if you're into some of that plumbing construction type stuff. Storage, organization and construction of shelves. So we have a lot of different rooms that we need to put Gorilla Rack shelves. If you remember our system in the great room for those rolling round tables, we had a little system that we built where we rolled them into slots. We have to kind of construct all of our storage spaces. Bob Reitzman has a great history in construction. He's going to oversee and work with some of you on that team. I was talking to Rico. Rico's got woodworking skills. Bob, grab him up, put him in a headlock. All right. Demo and construction. So the Hershey bench has got to come. I talked to Roger, and he says, take the whole thing. So we're going to go dig up the Hershey bench and figure out how to reinstall the granite and the monument somewhere on the new campus and still pay tribute to a family that made a very huge contribution to this. So we've got to go get that in the middle of the night from Valley Baptist. No. He knows we're coming. Yeah, Gonzalez, you got a crew, bro? You got the camis ready? Here we go. Here we go. Little Mission Impossible music in the background. Also, our time capsule. Did you forget? We have an unopened 100-year time capsule that we've taken out of the ground. And in the coming months, we're going to have a ceremony where we're going to open it and unveil what's inside of it. And then a little bit of a team to figure out what we want to add to and repack it, and then rebury it for another 100-year people. Can you imagine, like, our great-grandkids going, what are DVDs, or I don't know, whatever. So that's coming, and that same crew that moves the Hershey bench is also going to help us figure out how to monument and put in the ground the new time capsule. So you can join Rob Barber in that effort. C-trains and monument sign, electrical. If you've got electrical experience or lighting experience, Mike Rennick, who shared today, is going to oversee some of the electrical work that we need to get power out to the sign and the new C-train location. And then loading and unloading. Man, if you can pick two and also pick this one, I really hope that a lot of you show up to help with moving. The nice thing is we're bringing a lot of our C-train. We just got to pull it out in the backyard, not haul it all. We've only got to go get what's in that one part of the warehouse and then here. But Steve Obert's going to oversee our moving efforts, and we're going to have some needed moving days where we move in, throw away, or store whatever there. We have to sort that out. There's going to be a major effort there of moving. Maybe you can't lift or load or unload. If you are able-bodied, I pray you would join that effort. But maybe you want to help with the moving by cleaning, selling, or sorting. Kelly's going to show some oversight in some of that. And a big part of this transition will be connected to that. And then finally, Kids Club. We want to provide you with younger kids the opportunity to come out and volunteer able-bodied service to some of these efforts. And so Tanya Appleton is going to help organize a team of volunteers, so we need some people to be on that team if you can't do some of the other things, to consider being on the Kids Club team so that we'd have a couple shifts on Saturdays where your kids could have a good time, your little ones, and you could be over helping us. Praise God. Tanya, I apologize. That's my typo. That's not how you spell Tanya's name. Okay. I'm putting a Jamaican twist on your name, Tanya. Okay. I'd love for you to consider right now, prayerfully, jumping in and put your name on this in some areas and turn this in before you leave. We'd like to start populating these teams and calling you and beginning some planning and organization of what's to come. I am pleased to report that of the members, 67 voted yes to receive and approve the new bylaws, and 4 non-members voted yes, and no one voted no. Praise the Lord. Praise God for his work there. Praise God for what that is. So we get to adopt those and put today's date on those and have those now recorded and moving forward. Marilyn, all the documents related to that vote, we need to please save. I want to bring up a couple of people to do some prayer, and then we're going to go enjoy a good lunch. We're right there at 12:30, and just going to pray and conclude our meeting. If you have questions, we'd love to answer those during lunch. Ed Childers is first to pray for our leadership. Can someone put a mic? I got a mic right here, Ed. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. We pray with you. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, man, we thank you for our elders, our teaching team, and our staff, and their willingness to fulfill these positions for us in our church body. Help us to submit to and to honor our elders, Josh, Rob, and Matt, as they watch over our souls so that they can lead us with joy. Thank you for the positive, practical examples that they provide that we can emulate. We ask that you give them spiritual understanding of your word and in turn are able to teach us rightly and confidently. We also ask that you give them wisdom in setting boundaries and guards so that they do not become disqualified and continue to be faithful, blameless, morally pure, sober, and not self-willed. We ask these things in Jesus' name, that you ultimately will receive honor and glory. Amen.
I'm not going to jump up there like Josh. You're worried about the feedback. One of my favorite Joe Dirt quotes, but I'll spare you the comedy. So it's my honor to get to pray for our church family, so join me in prayer. Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to cry out to you on behalf of our church and for our upcoming year. It is no small testament what you've done in and through this church since I first began attending in 2003. We've been through so many changes, and yet you have remained faithful to sustain us and carry us through them all. As we sit at the eve of another major event in our church's history, we lay our hopes and dreams at your feet. We plead for your will to be done in and through us in this upcoming year. At this time, we lift up our church family to you, the many changes and growing pains that come as you sanctify your beloved. I pray that we would love each other well on this journey, that we would be patient with each other and speak the truth in love. I pray that as our members here, we would be committed to our mission to glorify you, Lord, through lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that we would find favor in each other's eyes as we make disciples who make disciples. That your faithfulness to us and our church would not return void to you, but that it would build up your church now, and that we would be a beacon of light in the lost world. As we grow in number, Lord, and by your grace, we ask that you would fill our new campus. In doing that, I pray that we would not lose sight of your call upon us to make disciples. I pray that we would continue to repent of sin, to trust in you, and to be sanctified. Lord, what else can we say but thank you for your grace upon us and our church as a whole. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Josh asked me to pray for our witness for 2018, so pray with me. Matthew 28:16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded to you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I pray that we would heed the words of Christ, that we would start our witness with what is in the text, with worship, that we would never move past that reality, that any truth we take to those in our community would be drenched in heart-changing spirit that is solely focused on Jesus. Pray that you would put brothers and sisters into our paths so that we can plant seeds that will, by your sovereign will, sprout into fully devoted believers in Christ. I pray that we would witness to our city. Lord, we live in a city that has much darkness and is in need of much redemption. Pray that 2018 would be a year of bold witness for us and for those in our community. As our new campus is being built, Father, I pray that you would bring many into our fold. We know that our message of hope is a message that our city desperately needs. Lord, if it's your will, we ask that you bring many to us. We ask that you prepare our hearts to minister to those that will come. And we ask that we would be eager to give a defense of the faith and to love those who are in our midst. And finally, Lord, we ask that you would be faithful to your great commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We pray that our church would not be a church that is insular, but rather that we would be a church that is sending, and that we would minister to the needs of not just our city, but that of the world. We pray for those who we've partnered with, the Dykes and the Drullards and the Linders. We pray that they would be emboldened and not fall into fear as they are in these foreign places. We ask that you would work powerfully through them, and we ask that you would encourage their hearts and help them see you ever more clearly. We thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. Without him, we would have no need to witness. But you've given us a great gift in your Son, and we thank you so much for him. Amen.
Here we go. It's going to be an amazing year. We're going to need to be patient with one another. We're going to need to be flexible. And we're going to need to be bought in. Be slow to make some extracurricular plans in the coming 3 or 4 months. Be ready to dig in and volunteer if you can during the week, in your evenings, on your weekends, as we get ready to open our doors and move on. One of the things I didn't share earlier that we're going to be telling you more about in the coming weeks is some efforts that we want to do, some community outreaches to just tell people about the church, some car washes, some carnivals in some parks nearby neighborhoods, go to some football games and just give out free water and love people and just tell them. We just want to get the name Disciples Church out there. We want people to know this is happening and we want to trust the rest of the Lord. Will you join us in these efforts and look for opportunities to get involved and stretch? I'm excited about where God's going to take us. So with that, formally, I want to bring to conclusion 12:35, our 2018 annual meeting, and ask a 75-year member, dear brother Don Bledsoe, to come pray for our meal and our fellowship time to come. Microphone is right there, Don. Let me flip that switch. Let's stand together and pray. It was really close.
Hello. Mm-hmm. In all honesty, I haven't been a member for 75 years because they wouldn't let me join when my mother carried me in. So. Yeah. Pray with me. Lord, we're a thankful people. You've been so good to us. We're so thankful for our past, for those saints that have gone before, for the present, for this meeting and the information and news that we received today, and for our future, Lord. We're so looking forward to the new campus that you are preparing for us, and we look forward to breaking bread in that new facility as probably our next meal together as a church family. And Lord, thanks to those that have prepared our meal today, bless them. Thank you for the wonderful flavors and smells and fellowship that we're about to partake in. And again, Lord, thank you. Bless this food. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.